Well, good morning. It is great to see you all. Hey, I don't know about you, but this year, 2016, it has been off to a great start for me. You know, it hasn't all been easy, but I've really loved what we've been doing here on the weekends, asking ourselves, how healthy do you want to be? How healthy do you want to be? And then letting God press into us, change things, make really meaningful, powerful changes in our lives. You know, it's just been a start, but for me, I've seen in my life and my spiritual, emotional, even physical health improvements. I've been exercising more, eating better, reading my Bible more, and I just want to thank you all for going through that with me. It is a powerful thing. Well, today, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to start out today by asking ourselves a question. What if there was something really unhealthy about us, and we just don't see it? We just don't see it. It's hidden. What if there was some way that we are hurting ourselves, some big problem that we have, sin issue, but we were basically blind to it. We couldn't see it. You know, do you get this? This would be different than the other problems in our lives because it would come as a surprise to us. You know, no one's surprised by the fact that they're out of shape or that they, you know, their emotions are out of control or that they're committing adultery. It's never, what? You're not my spouse and I just had sex with you? How did that happen? I must be committing adultery. Now, I'm sure some fool has actually said that, but it's just not believable, right? Yeah, if there was some problem that hid its very existence from us, you know what? I think that Jesus, remember him? The guy that loves us so much and is so smart. He would warn us about this problem. You think Jesus would actually talk a lot about it? And he would, you know, try to help us to see it and to get to a healthy place. And we'd need to talk about it here. It's something we'd need to talk about a lot. This idea, I don't know about you, but it kind of frightens me a little bit that I could have something seriously wrong with me and just don't see it. Some giant blind spot. And sure enough, that's the case. And Jesus, he's lovingly warning us about it. It's as though we look in the mirror, right? I look in the mirror and I look totally normal to myself, right? I look normal. But if I could actually see what we would see looking in the mirror, well, if we could really see ourselves, is that we are greedy bozos. We are greedy bozos. We are slaves. Seriously, we're slaves to materialism. If we really could see ourselves in the mirror, you know what we'd see looking back at us? It'd be more like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons looking back at us. It would be like Ebenezer Scrooge. That's what we'd see in the mirror. But we don't see it. You know, the Bible is full of warnings about greed and materialism for a reason. It's there for a reason, but we're blind to it. No, what do we say? We say, oh, no, that guy over there, wait, you see him over there? He's got way more money than me. He cares about money more than I do. It's him. He's the greedy guy. Or we're like, yeah, okay, our culture, you know, it's full of materialism. I get that. I see that on Super Bowl Sunday. But it's not me. That's not me. If we're honest, I bet most of us don't really want to talk about financial health, about greed today. No, you don't believe me when I tell you that Mr. Burns is our guy, that we look like him. You probably don't see it. You know, I'm a pastor. So people, they share their problems with me. They confess some real struggles, some private things that are going on in their lives. I've had people tell me about their addictions to porn and their adultery and their struggles with premarital and homosexual sex. But you know what? I've never had anyone tell me exactly how much money they make and how much they give. That they struggle with greed. Oh no, that's way too private. Blind we are. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? This is kind of a weird, hard to understand passage. Let me tell you what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about greed. And he's saying if we are greedy, we are in the dark. We are seriously in the dark. Well, could it be true? Could we be blind? Maybe Mr. Burns, Ebenezer Scrooge, that is what we look like. Well, if that was the case, we might not be able to see it, but you think we could like grope around a little in the dark and at least feel what's going on here, that there'd be some consequences of being so greedy. Well, if you know anything about Mr. Burns or Ebenezer Scrooge, it sure comes out in the way they conduct their business. The way they do their jobs is all about their greed. Really, the only question they ever ask themselves is, will it make me money? They never ask, is it right? Will it hurt people or the environment? How about in our jobs? Do we ever really ask those questions? Or are we just going with the flow? Gotta make money. Now, how about this one? Raise your hand if you have a job where you make money. Come on, get the hands up there. I bet there are people here that have a job where they make money. Now, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. How many, if you have a job that makes money and you're actually good at it, keep your hand up. So a few hands go down. Okay, if you have a hand where you have a job that you make money and you help people, keep your hand up. You help people too. Okay, how about this one? You actually love your job. Yeah. Why are there less hands up? It's because of materialism. It's because we make compromises, right? We all have jobs. All those hands are up for jobs that we make money. But we compromise in our jobs for the sake of money. You know, greed, it also stops us from asking hard questions about our lifestyles. You know, if we weren't blind, if we didn't have this willful blindness going on, we'd ask ourselves things like, hey, how much do I really need to spend on clothes or gadgets or my hobbies, my car, my dream home? Or does anyone ever ask themselves this? How can I give away more money? How can I change my life to be more generous? Do we ever question our own spending? Wait, do we ever let anyone else question our spending? Here's something Americans just don't say. Hey, I'm about to buy that new whatever it is, that thing. Do you think I should buy it for myself? Do you think that would be greedy? Trust me, people outside of America, outside the Western world, they can answer that question for you. They really can. You know, they look at us Americans and they think, hey, if you just didn't think you needed that new fancy pair of shoes or that latest iPhone, you could do so much in this world. You could end hunger. You could fight disease and human trafficking. It's kind of a crazy thought, actually, that we live in the wealthiest country in human history. That by comparison to people outside of America, in different parts of the world, we are incredibly rich, every single one of us. And yet we never stop to think about the possibility that we're greedy. Materialism blinds us. This is hard stuff, right? This is a hard talk today. But let me tell you, Jesus, he doesn't warn us about this because he doesn't like us. No, he loves us. Yet I'm sure there's some of you that are thinking, why did I have to come to church this weekend? I mean, it was snowing out. I could have just stayed home. And there's others of you who you just want to fight this. You're like, no, that's not me. I'm not blind. I'm not greedy. There's no way I'm like Mr. Burns. Just look at my posture. I'm good. Or, you know, following Jesus, it's not about our money, it's about our hearts. That last bit there, that's kind of true. Following Jesus is less about our money and more about our hearts. But you know they're connected, right? What does Jesus say? Grab a Bible. Let's take a look. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. It's on page 679 in the Bibles we have here. Let me pray, and then we'll look at Jesus' words. God, I welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come. We need you. Oh, shine your light. Show us what's really going on in our lives. Show us our greed. And God, it's hard to face. So I ask for your love and your grace. God, I love the tender way that you show us the truth about us. And you bring wholeness and health to our lives. And so I ask for that now. I ask for just radical change in people's lives today. Thank God, money, stuff isn't bad. But making it the most important things in our lives, that'll kill us. So I ask for real change in our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, Matthew 6, we're going to start in verse 19. Here's what Jesus says. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, America. I added that last word. Hey, Jesus, he's talking about money, but what he really cares about is our hearts. So how can we tell if our hearts are healthy? Wouldn't it be great if we could have like a map of our hearts, if there was like Google Maps for our hearts? You know, maybe if there was some cool app, you'd just like pull out your phone and you'd look at it and go, hey, my heart's in a healthy place, or, uh-oh, that's not a healthy place. My heart's in a destructive place. Well, you know, it's actually even easier than that. Jesus says, remember what Jesus said? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Treasuring is the Google Maps of our hearts. Everyone has treasures. Humans, we treasure things. Yeah, we do. We put value on things. We prioritize them in our lives. We want to keep them and protect them and invest in them. And that's not a good or a bad thing. That's just the way we are. That's the way we're made. And you know, we gain intimacy with other people when we reveal to them what we treasure. Because, as Jesus says, what we're showing them is our heart. Now, why does this work? Well, I'm no psychologist, but I bet it has something to do with the way we're built, what our deep inner needs and desires are. Because I do know something. Treasuring shows us the source of our significance and our security. Yeah. We give our hearts to the things that make us feel important and safe. So Americans all have someone that's poorer than them. And we don't like to admit it, but what we most of us do is we look down on people that are poorer than us. And most of us don't even really know people that well that are poorer than us. It's not them, it's us. It's that in our hearts, we get significance. We get value and approval, and we think we're important because we have money. Also, lots of us, we get security, false security, from our money. And I say it's false because, you know, we're just one bad diagnosis away from losing all of our money. But yet we seek security in money. Really what we want is we want a sense of control over this chaotic world through our money. See, again, why this works, why our treasures are such a good map to our hearts is because of the way we're built. This is way more accurate than Google Maps. Oh, and I also should say that treasuring being linked to our hearts, that's totally in the Bible too. The Bible talks about how important treasuring is. In fact, treasuring lies behind the greatest commandment. Do you remember the greatest commandment? Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? What's the most important one we should follow? And here at the Vineyard, we simplified it and we slapped it on those coffee mugs you've got. Love God, love people, period. And it's about treasuring. Smart guy, philosopher Dallas Willard, he says, the most important commandment in the Judeo-Christian tradition is to treasure God and his realm more than anything else. That is what it means to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It means to treasure him and to hold him and his dear and to protect and aid him in his purposes. Our only wisdom, safety, and fulfillment lies in so treasuring God. Then we will also treasure our neighbors rightly as he treasures them. What we treasure really matters for followers of Jesus. It does. So, what do we actually treasure? Is it God? It can be someone, God, or a son, a daughter, a spouse, a fiance, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. or here, maybe a little twist on that, is what gives us meaning in our lives, being able to fix people, being able to you know, rescue a loved one from their problems, their addiction. Here's a common one in America. Do we treasure our career, our ministry, our reputation, our fitness? For many of us, if we're honest, we treasure money. We treasure material things. What do we actually treasure? This isn't that hard, actually. There's a simple test. Just ask yourself, self, what is that thing? What is that thing that if I had that, then my life would be good? There'd be meaning and purpose and fulfillment in my life. That I'd be safe and secure if I had that thing. If I just had a man in my life or a woman in my life, if I just had that job or that position, if I just had that GPA, or if I just had, if I just had a certain look or body type, if I could just do a certain thing, if I was an expert at something, that's our treasure. Or flip it into the negative. Is there something in your life, what's in your life that if you lost that thing, your life would be over? It wouldn't be worth living. That's your treasure. What is it for you? Holy Spirit, come. Come and show us what we treasure. Not what we want to treasure, not what we think we should treasure. Show us what we actually treasure. Well, Jesus, he gives us some great advice about choosing, picking what we should treasure. You can think of it as Jesus' investment advice. So let's go back to verse 19, where Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." Put another way, don't be stupid. Invest in things that last. Earthly treasures are lousy long-term investments. That's because they can't last. They just can't. They can't last. And if you think about it, that's actually kind of a depressing thought, that all our earthly treasures will fail. You know, if there is no God, they are all doomed. Because you know the sun's going to burn out, right? And all life on this planet would end. It'd be over. If there is no God, all of this, everything, is worthless and meaningless in the vastness of time and space that is this universe. And if that doesn't depress you, think about your own life. Okay? In your own life, physical fitness is good, but these bodies are failing us, right? They are falling apart. And the roofs on our homes, they're preparing to leak. The belts and mechanical gizmos in our cars are wearing out. You know, our gadgets that we buy, they're pretty much obsolete the minute we buy them. And even our money isn't safe from cyber attacks and inflation. Oh, inflation. And just unexpected and uninsured tragedies. Earthly treasures are not smart investments. They're not. And yet so many of us, we're blind. We're like Mr. Burns. We're pouring our money and our effort into those things. Greed is so powerful. And many of us still, we're sitting there and we're thinking, that's not me. I'm not blind. I'm not greedy. You know, I'm pretty sure that thinking that you're not greedy, that there's no greed in your life, that's a huge red flag. That you have a hidden problem. Be brave. Let God show you the truth about your heart. Here's a couple of questions, a few tests we can ask ourselves. How do you react to rich people? To rich people. Do you resent rich people and their money and their stuff? Lots of people do that today. Or do you envy rich people and you want to have their money and their stuff? Which one is it? Maybe it's both. You know, either way, it shows our greed. It shows that we treasure what they have. If we stopped loving money, then we would be free to love rich people like Jesus does. Or how about this? Do we respect poor people? Yeah. How many of us disrespect? How many of you look down on poor people? Come on, go ahead and raise your hand. One honest person. Oh, two. Come on, we're not as blind as I thought we'd be. We're pretty blind, though. I mean, seriously, when is the last time we actually shared love with someone that's poor? Not just pity. We loved someone that's poor. Are you thinking, I don't know anyone that's poor? Well, you know, they come here, right? The food shelf across the hall is open 2 days a week. You could come and you could serve them and meet some folks that are really in need. Or how about this? Maybe this goes even deeper. Let's say you had a child that you loved. And imagine they were graduating from high school and they came to you and said, Mom, Dad, you know, Jesus, he's inviting me to move to Africa or maybe India and to live amongst the poorest of the poor and to pour my life out, to love them and give my life to them. Well, how many of us would say, yeah, great. But before you go, how about you get a college degree? You know, an education that you could fall back on. Or maybe take a little time and, you know, save up some money here so you have a nest egg, so you have some security in case you need it. And then you can go and have your adventure. Yeah. Could we respect our child's choice to be poor? Voluntary poverty in service of the kingdom of God. That's a hard one. As a parent, this one hits me. But you know your answer shows what you treasure, right? Or here's another one. Are we radically generous? Do we change our lifestyle so we can give to others? Now, when I say radical generosity, I think a lot of us just think about really rich people giving away billions of dollars. No. This is for everyone. Jesus, he had everything, but when he was here, he was poor. He was a poor man from a poor working class family. And Jesus was radically generous. Think about it. Jesus gave away everything on the cross. He died for others. And he's our example. How much do we actually give to the poor, to the church, to our neighbors and friends in need? You know, the math is simple, right? Jesus gave 100%. And many of us struggle with giving 10%. He's our example. Right? If we're apprentices, if we're his students, he's our example. Not in theory. Following Jesus means following his example. Is this making anyone uncomfortable? I sure hope so. Good. Because you know what's happening here? We're bumping into the furniture, right? We're in the dark and we're like bumping our knee and scraping it up and feeling it. That's good. Hopefully it wakes us up to the fact that we're in the dark. We are greedy. But this is good news. This is good news. Let's talk about that for a minute. It's hard for us Americans to confront our greed. It's really uncomfortable. But it is good news. It's really good news. Go back to what Jesus says in verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, and then yada yada, but store up for yourselves. Maybe underline that in your Bible. For yourselves, treasures in heaven. See, Jesus is not saying don't be selfish. He's not saying stop storing up those treasures on earth, store up treasures in heaven for God. No, he's not saying stop doing what's best for you, do what's best for God. No, those little words there, that little phrase, for yourselves, that points to a better, a healthier selfishness. Now, that might sound odd, right? Doesn't it? But Jesus is appealing to our self-interest, to a selfish motive. And we don't expect that, right? We expect when Jesus would talk about money, when, you know, leaders talk about money, that just two things is going to happen. We expect one, that we're going to feel guilty and ashamed, like Jesus has done so much for you. Can't you give more back to him, you selfish bozos? Or two, we expect this, like you just put yourself up so high. Can't you think of other people? Think of other people first, you little worms. Come on, be selfless. Now, come on. Guilt, shame, tearing ourselves down. These things are dumb. But being thankful to God for what he's done, to put other people ahead of ourselves, those things are good. They're good for us. You get that? They're good for us. If you're confused right now, don't blame yourself. Blame Immanuel Kant. It's always good to blame a dead German guy. Kant was a humanist philosopher, and folks like Kant have tried to tell us, they try to convince us, that the highest human motivation is selflessness. Really, if I do anything good and I get something out of it, well then somehow that's tainted. And that sounds right. Isn't selflessness better than selfishness? But you know that's not what Jesus says. Sure, you bet. Jesus says, put God first. Put other people ahead of yourself. But he doesn't say, do it because it's bad for you. No, he says, do it because it's good for you. Come on, following Jesus is about doing what's good for you, not doing what's bad for you. Otherwise, it wouldn't be good news. Following Jesus does require sacrifice, but it doesn't require selflessness. This is actually important. Because this whole selfless business, it gets all mucked up into our motivations. It goes to the depth of our motivations. We start to think that there's a tension. There's a tension between doing what God wants and doing what's best for us. And we think, well, you know, maybe if I love God enough or if I feel guilty enough, then I'll do what God wants. But the whole time, I'll kind of want to do what's best for me. No, Jesus is saying they're the same thing. There is no tension. Be selfish. But be smart about that. Really be selfish. Do what's best for you. And you see, this actually works in all the areas of our lives, not just with our money. When we do what Jesus says, when we obey him, sure we do it because he's king and because we love him and because it's right. But we also do it because it's best for us. Otherwise, it wouldn't be very good news. So here's an example. Premarital sex. You know premarital sex. Why don't we have premarital sex? Just because Jesus doesn't want us to and we're supposed to be selfless? Well, let me tell you. If you've ever been young, horny, and alone with your boyfriend or girlfriend, you know that selflessness is not a great motivator. No. We want what's best for us. We're selfish. Well, God knows sex. He made it. He likes it. He knows what's best for sex. He knows that during sex, in our brains, a substance is released that creates bonding with other people. And that's great if you're married. It's bad if you're not. Because the more sexual partners we have, the harder and harder it gets to form a permanent bond with one other person. If we have premarital sex, what we're doing is we're training ourselves for short-term relationships. Why don't we have premarital sex? It's because short-term relationships are not best for us. Sure, they may have momentary pleasure, but they often come with a lot of pain and emptiness. No, we're holding out for what's best, a lasting, intimate, joyful relationship with one other person in marriage where we can bond with them. Do you see this? We don't say no to premarital sex or to earthly treasures because that's what God wants and we are his selfless slaves. No, we say no because we are his beloved children and he's showing us what's best for us. He's showing us, he's teaching us a better, a healthy selfishness. Okay, where are we at? We're in Matthew 6. And so Jesus is talking about treasures in heaven and how they are great long-term investments. Because they're going to last forever, right? If we narrow our investments down to things that will last forever, we basically have God and his kingdom. And in those, I think you got the big three. You got ourselves, other people, and God. So ourselves, an example of a great treasure in heaven is a character in us that's becoming more and more like Jesus. Because you know the only thing that you bring into the kingdom of God is yourself. So, you know, our bank accounts, our degrees, our cars and boats, they're not good long-term investments. They're not coming. But our faith and our hope and our love, those things last. Paul talked about that. The Apostle Paul, early church leader, he talked about how faith and hope and love last. Do we ever think about those as investments? How much of our time and energy and money are going towards developing those in our lives? Because we'll have those forever. Now, how about other people? know, here's an investment that will last into the kingdom of God. The people that we help find Jesus. The people who we make their lives better. The kids that we teach. The poor that we help in Jesus' name. The marriages that we help stay together. The kindness that we show in Jesus' name. The creativity that we bring into this world. And yeah, the money that we invest in kingdom purposes. How much are we investing in other people? In our budgets. We all have budgets, right? In our budgets, is there a line item for other people? An amount that we've budgeted for that? Because if there's not, it tells us something about our priorities. And then the ultimate treasure in heaven, Jesus himself. Jesus is the prize that we are fighting for. He's the ultimate treasure. Not just the great gifts we get from him, his love, but Jesus himself. And I kind of feel like I don't even really have words for this. You know, I've been following Jesus for quite a while, and I'm just barely understanding this, I think. You know, for years and years, every day, I would thank God. I would thank Jesus for his sacrifice on the cross for me, that he died for my sins. Wow, I was overwhelmed by his love for me. And God has shown me that that's just the price he paid for the actual gift. The gift is himself. And if that sounds strange, if that sounds mystical, I guess it kind of is. But this whole idea of being in Christ, of having through the Holy Spirit, Christ in us, it is very real and it is very practical and it is for all of us. It's the prize. Now, I should also say Jesus, when he talks about treasures in heaven, Jesus didn't think of heaven as this like far off place that they were just waiting around to die and go to. No, for Jesus, heaven is like, I don't know, it's kind of like another dimension that intersects and connects with ours. And with God's kingdom breaking through into this time and space, all of these treasures in heaven are available to us now. We can experience them now. And then when Jesus comes again, we can experience them fully for all of eternity. All right, let's step back here for a minute. Jesus' investment advice, it's kind of like a no-brainer, right? What idiot would invest in things that they know are going to become worthless when they could invest in things that are going to last forever? Well, I don't know, maybe an idiot who is blind to their greed and their heart. Maybe someone who just couldn't seem to do what's best for themselves. I'm sure there's no one like that here. Wait, I'm here. I think maybe I've done this. No, I'm sure I've done this. And I'm probably not alone. Well, what do we do about this? How do we see this change in our lives? How do we press into this? Well, I can tell you, if you could just try harder and lick this thing, I'd have it licked by now. No, that doesn't really work. It can't work. All the real deep change in us is a gift from God. It's an act of his grace. And yet, we've talked about this before in this series, there is nothing biblical about an attitude that just says, well, you know, let go and let God, let's see what happens. No, repeatedly, over and over again in the Bible, it says, make every effort. Make every effort. The opposite of grace is not effort. It's works. You know, on our own, we can't do anything without Jesus, right? But with Jesus, we still do something. We open ourselves up to him changing us. So here, let's talk about three really practical things we can do to open ourselves up to God changing what we treasure. Really, what we're after is having Jesus as the ultimate treasure in our lives. It's not that those other things are bad, but they need to be below Jesus and his kingdom. How do we get there? How do we allow him to change us? Well, here's the first thing we can do. Break the silence. Get ourselves a financial accountability partner. Yeah, someone that can ask us the hard questions about our spending and how we use our money. Someone who can look us in the eye and say, hey, you know you can only serve two masters, right? What's going on here? Let's talk this through. Ah, what a great way to let God speak to us through another follower of Jesus. What a great way to come out of the darkness into the light and see what's going on. What a great way to see what we treasure change. If you can think of a person that could do that for you, write their name down right now. And if you can't, just write a line on your paper and just ask God. And he'll show you who can do that. We can find someone that can do that for you. If you're married, this is something that you can lovingly do for your spouse. But I'd say, as in a marriage, as a financial unit, you and your spouse, it is helpful to get perspective from outside your marriage. But be sure to do this together. It should never be, hey, surprise, honey, my mom's here, and she's here to tell you how you spend too much money. And we think you might be greedy, and your heart might be in the wrong place. No, that's not going to go well, okay? I'm just warning you. Okay, a second practical thing you can do, sign up for Financial Peace University. Sign up. It starts this Tuesday, February 9th, 6:30 p.m. See you there. This really is a powerful tool to get control of your money so you can actually invest it in what matters. You know, me, earlier in my life, I was a Wall Street attorney, and I learned a few things about money. But I took Financial Peace University last year, and I tell you, I learned some really practical tools to use in my life. And I've talked to lots of folks who, Financial Peace, it has completely changed their lives, radically changed their life. I can introduce you to them if you want. One, a few of them came up to me after last service. This is a powerful tool. I mean, how healthy do you want to be? How healthy do you want to be? If you want to be financially healthy, Financial Peace University can help. Okay, one more really practical thing we can do. We can give. Give. Yeah, give to the poor, give to our neighbors and friends who are in need, give to all kinds of great causes and organizations, and yeah, give to the church, the local church where you're being spiritually fed. God, He asks us to give to Him, not because He needs our money. I mean, think about it. He's God. He don't need your money. No, He's after your heart. Give more than you're giving now. Give so that you have to change the way you live, your lifestyle, and that will change your heart. It will. It'll help change your heart. Because you'll have to have some hard conversations with Jesus about what's important to you and whether you're actually greedy and your priorities. Start with just giving a tithe, giving 10% of your income to the church. And here at the Vineyard, we like to call tithing the training wheels of generosity. Because you know, in the Bible, it never actually says to give your tithe. No. It talks about bringing the tithe, presenting the tithe, paying the tithe. Why is that? It's because the tithe belongs to God. You can't give to God something that already belongs to Him. Yeah, real giving starts after the tithe. In the Bible, that's called offerings. Here's something really practical you can do. Go to duluthvineyard.org. Go to the website and sign up for online recurring automatic tithing and giving. This is something that I've done. Went online, signed up. I have my tithe automatically transferred. I have my offering, my gift to the Building Communities of Hope, the capital campaign, is automatically transferred out. And yeah, it's practical. It's more convenient. You don't have to mess with the checks and all that business. But it can go deeper. I know it has for me. Because what's happening here? What's happening is when the money comes into my bank account, the first money that gets transferred out automatically goes to the church. God is getting the first fruits of my labor rather than just what's left over at the end of the month. What it's doing is it's making real my priorities. It's establishing what's important, what's best for me and my family is to invest in the kingdom of God in treasures in heaven. All right, these are some really practical things we can do. And I'd encourage you to do these things, to open yourself up to God changing you. And again, what we're after is God making Jesus the number one treasure in our hearts. But to have that happen, I think the other thing you have to do is you have to experience Jesus. There's lots of ways to experience Jesus. The Holy Spirit is super creative. You know, in prayer, in reading our Bibles, in worship, through nature, lots of ways to experience Him. But one way that has always gone straight to my heart and changed what I treasure is this. To take time with God thinking about what does Jesus treasure? What are Jesus' treasures? So let's just spend a few minutes on this right now. Thinking about what does Jesus treasure? What are His treasures? All right, well, first of all, think about Jesus before He came to earth, right? He was in heaven, and He had everything. Yeah, I mean, you can't think of anyone that was more wealthy, more accomplished, more successful, more famous than Jesus. I mean, no one else could put on their resume, created universe. That's Jesus, right? As the Son of God, no one had more significance and security than Jesus. And then he comes to earth. And when the King of the universe comes, basically he loses everything. When he goes to the cross, he is stripped naked. All of his possessions gone. And that's just an echo of what's happening in the spiritual realm when the Father turns his back on Jesus. Jesus loses it all. He loses all of his treasures. Why? Why, Jesus, would you do this? There must have been something you were after, something that was more valuable than all of your treasures. Yeah. It's us. It's us. Jesus must have said to himself, him, her, you, he must have thought of all of our names and said, you know what? It's worth it to lose all of my treasures. It's worth it to even go to hell for them. And Jesus, this was no surprise to Jesus. The prophecy, Isaiah 53, Jesus saw the suffering and he was satisfied. He knew what he was getting into and he knew it was worth it. He knew that you are worth it. Because you are Jesus' treasure. You are Jesus' treasure. We need to get that. We need to know that, not just in our heads, but in our hearts. And when we start to experience that, when we start to live in that reality that Jesus gave up all of his treasures to make us his treasure, what happens is our hearts naturally respond. As we start to experience the greatest love we will ever experience, our hearts turn towards that love. We start to love him back. We start to put him as our highest treasure. That's what frees us from greed. That's what brings us into the light and puts everything in perspective. Because it's best for us. There is nothing better than Jesus. Why don't you stand up with me and let's press into that right now, even more. We're going to move into ministry time. We're going to take some time to talk to God about the things we've been talking about this morning. So God, I welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come. And even now, Holy Spirit, just open the floodgates of heaven and pour out your love in this room. We all need to experience Jesus' love. We need to know, we need to live in the truth that we are your treasure. For God so loved the world. For God so loved me. Just put your name right in there. For God so loved me that he gave his one and only Son. Hear Jesus whisper into your ear now. I would have done it. I would have given it all up. I would have gone to hell just for you. You are my treasure. Holy Spirit, there are so many barriers that we put up to experiencing the love of God. Our sin that we hold on to so tightly, our pride, we're just not willing to humble ourselves and open our hearts and our minds, our souls to you pouring out your love. Just now, just break down those barriers. Just break them down and pour your love into our hearts. Pour your love. God, us Americans, we are so greedy. We are. I confess it. On Super Bowl Sunday, I say we are obsessed with materialism. God, please forgive us. But you know, our materialism, it just shows us that we are desperate for your love. We haven't experienced enough of your love. Help us to receive your love. Pour it out on us. God, if we could live differently, if you could break the greed off of our lives, off of our community, oh my goodness, we would stand out. People would see that and they would be shocked by it and they would turn to you and your love. That is a recipe for revival. God, I ask for that. I ask for that in our hearts, that we will experience so much of your love that it'll just shine out of us. And so many people will come to you and experience it as well. Holy Spirit, come. You know, I'd like to invite the ministry team to come forward. And I guess I'd like to invite everyone that's greedy to come up and get prayer, but that would be all of us. I'm not sure we'd all fit up here. So how about this? If you don't want to be blind anymore, if you want to see the truth that's going on in your life, if you want to be free from greed, if you want to actually do what's best for yourself, why don't you come up and let someone pray for you? We're not going to shame you because of your greed. There's no point in that. It's stupid. No, we want you to actually experience Jesus' love in a powerful way. Maybe you've never experienced that. Maybe you want to know what that's like. We would love to pray for you this morning and have that happen in your life. I feel like there's some folks here today, we need like Paul moments on the road to Damascus where Jesus just throws us down in our life and just overwhelms us with his love and his presence so that we can come out of our darkness, the darkness of greed that we're in. So if there's anything in your life that you need prayer for, whether it's physical healing, you're struggling with your relationships, any kind of problems, we would love to pray for you today. Be brave and let someone pray for you. They're going to lead us in some more worship, and I would just encourage you to stay and listen to God. Let him talk to you about how much he loves you, how much he treasures you, and how he wants to bring you out of the blindness of greed in your life. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.